Shut up and sit down.
This is Sparta!
I get this bike to breathe, the football going. Cut cord, no cell phone, the homie. Patches on my shirt, dirty black jeans, duct tape shoes, breakneck speed. Patches in my backpack just in case. Padlock fat, chain to my waist. Snaked in bike tools, safe from the rust. Steady like a gunslinger, belt in the...
You are listening to another sweet episode of the Dialed Podcast with Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turing. Make sure you have nothing better to do for a while because this is a long one. These guys just won't be quiet. I'm telling you, tip of the day, a smile will gain you 10 more years of life. It's science. Look it up.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
All right, welcome back to the Dialed Podcast 2022.
Whoa.
Yikes. I am Jake Von Turing, and I'm here with Lance Hepler.
Lance Hepler, right here in brand new studio.
Brand new.
New studio.
Is it?
Well, this is our second podcast.
We did already do a podcast here. Last week's podcast was recorded earlier in the old studio. But here we were
actually in the lab, but now we're actually in the studio.
Yeah, we actually have a studio.
This is a studio now.
Pretty
so nice.
Still work in progress, but it's going to be pretty stinking awesome when it's all done. So, been a fun project.
Things are looking good.
Coming around. To his right, Evan Price.
I think all four of us have a different drink today. And Matt is not only enjoying a drink, he's also enjoying kind of a drink.
I don't even know what this is.
It looks pretty watery.
It's like a yogurt parfait.
A yogurt parfait with...
There's like...
A mason jar.
Jake is going to the studio.
Matt's making a mess with his blueberries.
Flinging blueberries all over the place.
Hold on. There's a Park Tool spork.
Yeah, go get the Park Tool spork.
Park Tool makes a spork?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I actually buy those things in bulk. And I, a lot of times when people order stuff on the internet, just kind of like a little thank you thing. I have this little funny little letter I write.
That's actually pretty cool.
Throw it in there.
Throw a spork in there for them. And yeah, they get a little bonus prize when they order something. So kind of fun stuff. But Evan Price, you're good?
Nice.
Doing well?
Yeah.
Happy 2022 to you.
Happy 2022. It is nice and cold out here in the Pacific Northwest.
Chilly.
Cold and rainy right now.
Lance is growing his winter beard. I have shaved my winter beard recently just to the mustache.
I will say mine is going away. This week.
What?
What?
Yeah. I'm going to Hawaii.
You're going to Hawaii.
And I don't want this in Hawaii.
Can you keep a mustache for Hawaii at least?
What are you retaining?
I haven't decided yet.
The mustache.
It might all just go away.
You should do this. Do you remember training camp?
Lance, it's like 6 months of growth.
19, I think it was. Training camp 2019. We were in Palm Springs, and I think that's where it was. But Whitney Phillips showed up to training camp and had a full beard. Every day, he came out with a modification, and he looked slightly different. So
I was thinking the same
exact
thing.
That is absolutely
Your
what
kids
Lance
will
do.
Love it.
Yes. I should do that, every day this week?
No, every
or
day
I should
in
do
Hawaii.
That every
no, no,
day
no,
in Hawaii.
Hawaii. Correct.
Yeah. Just every day, just shave something else.
Yeah,
just
and then also do it at the training camp, too. Do it at both.
I won't be able to regrow by training camp. It's,
this is true.
It's
how
2 months apart.
This is not
I won't be able to regrow it in 2 months.
To start with, the chops. And then this, and just like have this part shaved him. Or you could just do just neck hair.
The neared.
I've already been shaved.
The neared is amazing.
The chin strap. Remember the chin strap back in the day?
Yeah.
I feel Fu Manchu. Like
whatever would embarrass your kids the most.
Yeah, the neared would have to embarrass them the most.
They're hard to embarrass.
I've got a Speedo you can borrow.
Oh, that might work.
Yeah.
It's Evan's right, Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? What are you guys... I don't know. I've got nothing.
You already got the what do you guys eat for lunch today? Because Matt is trying his best.
What are you guys having for lunch?
Evan's
having fudge.
Evan has a giant pile of fudge in front of him.
We really should. If somebody had a picture.
That's a lot of fudge.
The comparison of what we're eating for lunch right now, I just did a swim and I'm going to recover with a high amount of sugar and protein, also known as fudge.
Like you do, right?
Well, is this dark chocolate fudge?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's heart health right there.
That's
there
heart health.
Go. Oh, it's
I'm
it's
starting off the new year
fudge.
With a bang. Yeah.
I just got out of the water also.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
This is me and Matt's recovery swim meal.
Yeah.
So neither of us are professional swimmers.
No.
How about some backpedaling? Lance Hepler.
Yes.
How many hours did you ride on the trainer last week?
Ooh.
A lot.
More than he likes to.
Okay, we haven't backpedaled in a couple weeks. I had 1 week. The week of Christmas, I was down for the count with back issues. Like, didn't get out of bed for 3 days. Like, right after we recorded the live podcast, I went down, like, the next day and was just...
You were donezo, yeah.
I was donezo. Like, I made it to the bathroom the first day from my bed.
I love how on our team you got, and I won't say names because it's just funny and everybody knows who they are here. I love how you got scolded for getting on the bike, like, what was it, 2 days later after that?
It was like 3 days.
You couldn't get out of bed, and then you like logged a 30-minute Zwift workout or whatever, and everybody on our team was like, Lance, you're an idiot. It was like, why are you?
I got hammered. It was like getting on the bike and leaning over was the only thing that like felt decent.
I didn't even know that you were hurt that bad.
Yeah, it went south like badly.
Well, you also did a lot of painting and things like that in here. It wasn't that.
It was a core workout and
the
strength routine
of core workout
that I was I was trying to prep myself for a better 2022 and nope,
start off on an awesome foot. Yeah,
didn't work.
Lance doesn't ease into anything. No. He'll go from 0 to 100 in like.
I'm an idiot.
No flat time flat. Yeah.
Lance took the let's do a strength training approach off of as much volume as I can shove into. Well, how long did that take you? An hour maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, probably. My God.
He gets like a list
hour?
Of like
40
strength training
minutes.
Exercises. Like a full list.
He
like,
sent me the list. It was
great. Let's pick and choose like things to like, you know, do on a daily basis. Yeah. Lance is like, I'll just do all of
do
them.
Do the whole thing. Yeah.
And not just once, maybe twice or three times.
No, I wanted to see which ones felt good and which
this
ones
would,
didn't.
This would be the
it was all too much.
This would be the equivalent of somebody being like, I'm going to eat healthier this year. And then taking a list of meals that they were going to do and then doing all those meals the same day. Like all 30 meals. And then being like, I feel like crap this next day.
None of this good food works. I feel terrible.
I think I gained more weight now.
That's funny.
Anyway, yeah, so I had a pretty rough week. But then after 4 or 5 days, I could get on the trainer. And I actually managed to complete the Rafa Festive 500.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I did. It was only, only 6 days, 6 or 7 days. But
is that 500 kilometers or 500 miles?
It's 500 kilometers.
Kilometers.
So it's like 320 miles or so.
Okay, gotcha.
But I was doing like 100 kilometer rides on the trainer in big groups so that you go like 25 miles an hour.
And you need about 40 a day or 50 a day, something like that.
Yeah, and I did it. Yeah. You have 10 days to do it, and I did it in 7.
Is it 10 days or I thought it was 8?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's 8 days.
Yeah.
I did it in 7.
Yeah. 8 or 9. I don't know. But yeah, that's still... That's impressive.
But one of those days, I did a trainer century.
Yeah, that's gross.
I did.
What route do you choose for your trainer century?
Well, flat. I did the first 62 miles with a group meetup.
Yeah,
with like
that's smart.
With like 500 people, so that we averaged like 25 miles an hour. And I was only planning to do that, but then my whole family was gone. I wasn't doing anything else.
You're already at 70 miles.
I'm already at 70 miles. I'm like, I'm just gonna keep riding.
Yeah.
So I rode for like 4.5 hours.
You get a jersey. You do get like a little Zwift jersey for finishing a century.
Uh-huh.
You should switch it out. So we can ride together wearing our jerseys matching.
Who cares?
you Lance, like your orange.
Lance, I'm on level 48 right now and I'm almost to 50 and I can promise you I care, okay?
No, I'm only on level 33 because I only ride Zwift.
But I haven't
for like
updated any of my bike stuff to be honest, so.
I've been on this platform longer than you guys and I'm only on like 37 or something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty far behind.
I was stuck on level 25 forever and a day, and then they did the update where they let you go up to level 50, and then they were keeping track of your miles, and then they basically applied like how many miles you had in the bank. I pretty much jumped from 25 to 50,
like right overnight,
right
yeah,
like, almost instantly, yeah. And that's including
Lance is at 52.
That's not including like when,
aren't you? No, I'm 33.
Yeah. Oh, you're 33. Yeah. You're 50. Okay,
I've been
at
50 for God knows how long, but
it's because I don't ride it for like 9 months of the year.
That's
zero.
True. Yeah.
But there's another 3,000 miles that I rode on Strava or on Zwift. That's a whole other story. They just got my email screwed up. Like it was my last name. It was my email address, and when I put my last name in there, it did an autocorrect to Wandering. And I didn't realize that it did the autocorrect, and I was just going through the whole setup. And then something came along with some sort of an update, and they kicked me out. And I was trying to log back in. And I was using my last name, and it just wouldn't work. So I went and created a new account, and I lost out 3,000 miles. And then later on, went back in because I had to log into my other device, and then it did an auto populate with Wandering. I'm like, well, son of a. And then I put in the password that I used, and it worked. And I couldn't combine the two together.
Wait, so you have a?
I have two accounts.
There's a Jake Wandering out there.
Jake Wandering and a Jake Bonduring.
Well, it's no, they're both Jake Von Dring, but the email address, when I was putting my email address, because I used my last name and my email address, it auto-corrected that.
You should make another Zwifter named Jake Wandering and then just randomly jump into our group rides and Wandering. Then just don't even go onto Discord. Just be like, who the hell is this Wandering guy?
See if you can do the same like connection thing that Nate does where he's like jittering all over the place. Right. There goes Nate, Jake Wandering. Yeah. He's wandering off the course again.
Yeah, that's funny.
Anyway, yeah, so I did complete the Festive 500. I wasn't sure if I was going to, but then, you know, you kind of get stuck on it and thought, yeah, I can do 100K a day and see if I can make through it. Because it's just trainer.
And you get socks miles. Do you get socks or something?
I don't know.
Like you used to get something.
No, you don't get anything now. You just get a virtual badge. They used to send you a patch, and they don't do that. Plus, I did 100% on Zwift, and that's kind of lame, too.
That is why I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I will only do the 500 sending everybody that, because everybody I know tried to do the... They were probably like, we can't send 1 million people a patch now.
Yeah, probably. Well, there's like 40,000 people who complete it or something like that. So there's a lot.
Gotcha. Anyway.
I've done it a few times in the past, but I've only done it outside. And I think that's where you're supposed to do it. That was part of the whole premise by having it. That was like, be tough and go outside and do it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's fine and well, but I can't do that when it's snowing here. And we got a lot of snow between.
A lot of snow.
You know, the 24th and the 31st. Yeah. So
It was started by a couple guys in England.
Yeah.
And that was the idea was, hey, let's be tough and see if we can do this in England.
I'm sure there's like Norwegian riders that probably do the Festive 500 like on their mountain bikes in the snow. Some of these Euro guys are hard as nails.
I know.
I'll be on the trainer. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I know Brian Kesselman here in Portland did it all outside here in Portland. Good.
That's a big shout out to that guy. Yeah. Good job. So that's a tough dude.
It's a tough week.
Yeah.
Anyway, I finished all that. I did manage to finally ride outside this last week. I did like 18 hours last week, even though I'm broken. But we had a New Year's Day gravel team ride.
I felt like I was a part of it.
You were kind of part of that. We had like 8 or 9 people who came, and we rode like 30 miles, 25 miles.
It was freezing. You guys were, I'm surprised you guys got more than you two, honestly.
It was icy and cold, but I think people were.
What was awesome? I'll jump a little bit in my back pedal here. I rode the day before. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about why. And it was slightly warmer. It was probably 4 or 5 degrees warmer. But it was still cold. It was still in the 30s, but it wasn't cold enough to freeze the ground. So I was a sloppy, muddy mess when I got home. When I got home from the ride that we did together as a team, I was pretty clean.
Probably clean.
Because everything was frozen. Yeah, so that was kind of nice.
I would be scared of slipping on the ice.
We were all very cautious in places.
It's really just the bridges that you need to be worried about. Yeah. The ground, you get that frozen tundra. Mm-hmm.
There were some spots.
There's some spots where there's like a little bit of cement and there were like some ice spots. Like right when I saw you guys, there were spots over there.
Yeah. So you just got to be careful.
It was random.
We were going down the trail and ran into the whole LeGrand clan. Yep. So everybody was outing. Walking out.
That counts as you being on the gravel ride then.
I know, that's what I said.
Yep. You got to run a bike in that day.
I got a lot of miles in that day.
There you go. Cool.
So, yeah, that was it.
Sweet. Evan.
Not a ton of stuff. I made it to midnight on New Year's. I was laying in bed on New Year's, like as soon as we hit midnight, and I was like, all right, time to go to bed. So that was pretty late for me, and this is how pathetic I am with like my tolerance for having a good time now. Had a couple adult beverages that night, like a couple. I mean, two maybe. And unfortunately ate some things that did not go well with my stomach. Woke up that next morning, and we go to do our New Year's tempo run. And I'm also planning on jumping into freezing cold water with Kevin Frawley, who is a wildly tougher human being than I am. So I go out to our tempo run, and the group is getting bigger now. We had like almost 20 people out there, I think, actually. Wow. The group's going to get bigger, and it's now we've got like the young kids out here who are fast. So like they're ready to go. So we are running, and you know, me and Josh are doing decently well, and I make it about 30 minutes into our tempo section of this. And I'm like, oh boy, time to pull off the side of the road and, you know, nature calling here. So have to do that.
Wait, as long as it's not in somebody's front yard.
Okay, this is out of Vancouver, like middle of nowhere. So yeah, this is, trust me, it was in the woods. But
if you've heard Evan's story of crapping in somebody's front yard from a couple years ago,
what podcast is that on?
Oh, podcast 173.
You know what's funny? That was probably
I
was probably the same time of year, honestly, in Ohio, because it was a lot of snow at that time in Ohio. Because I told you guys, there was no place to hide.
place to hide in Ohio.
But anyway, you know, so get through that, like feeling okay or whatever, and get done with it. It's like, it was like 20 degrees during the run because we started the run early. So it was cold. And we get done with this and I'm thinking like, oh, this is the perfect excuse just to not have to jump in Vancouver Lake. Great. Well, I get back from the run and now everybody who said that they were going to come and watch me is like standing in the parking lot there. Like, so I'm like,
go jump in
the lake. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, all right, we're all driving over to Vancouver. Because we go from Frenchman's Bar for the run. Now everybody's like, all right, we're driving over to Vancouver Lake together. And we get in the car and Cassie even tells me, she's like, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. I'm like, oh no, I am dumb enough. I need to prove this to me. I need to prove that my feet can get really cold for no reason. Okay. So we go over there. I find out it's Kevin Frawley's 40th birthday. He's been completely quiet about that. So now I'm like, I have to do this now. This guy is a champ. He's one of the new triathletes on our team. He's like one of my favorite people. Like, I am going to jump into this water with this guy. And he is cool as a cucumber. He's like not even worried about it.
Let's do it.
He's like, all right, dude, do we want to like try and swim out to the poles? Like, Kevin, I'm getting in the water and then I'm getting out of the water. Like, this is, we're not staying
here. But it was only the two of you, right?
It was just me and Kevin.
Nobody else would do it. So someone did it at Round Lake. Principal Mel.
Becca did it.
My wife did it.
Your wife did that too?
There was probably
five or six of them.
Seven or eight of them.
That's awesome.
There was a bunch of them.
No, I'm kind of upset with
a bunch. They all jumped in with clothes on, like a lot of clothes on, except for I think Becca was in her swimsuit, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, jumping in with clothes, bad idea in like 38, 39 degree water because that freezing clothes, yeah, they'll cling to you.
Yeah.
So like me and Kevin both were like, nah, we're going swimsuit. Everybody was commenting on there like, oh my God, that looks close. You guys are like half naked. I'm like, yeah, it's way better than jumping in jeans and a t-shirt for sure.
Dry clothes on afterwards.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
she had a group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they
I missed out.
They got up in the morning. They rode on Zwift and then they went out. They did a 5K and then they all jumped in the water.
So they ended it with the water, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's much smarter because there's no way somebody could convince me to like go on a run after doing that. You can't even feel your feet for 10 minutes.
Zwift, though, because it'll warm you right back up.
That's actually what I did when I got home.
My wife said it was so cold that she got up to about her chin and she couldn't breathe. Yep. It was just everything kind of like seized up on her. She's like, there was like ice out in the water. Yep. I'm like, yeah, no thanks.
So weird enough, so Kevin's going to do Escape from Alcatraz next year. Yeah, so I look up a lot of this stuff. There is like cold water training is actually pretty important if you're going to swim in a race that's going to have cold water.
Yeah.
So especially during the spring and summer, I will take nothing but cold showers and I'll sit there and let the water hit my face for a while because you do have to train. You have little receptors around the, like your facial muscles that actually will cause constriction to your breathing if it's under certain extreme temperatures. So you do have to get used to that. And that's actually something that, I listened to a couple podcasts of guys called the Polar Bears, which are guys that go and like swim in ridiculously cold open water.
With no wetsuit.
No wetsuit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen this.
And they talk about training for that. There's really specific things you got to do with your breathing patterns, ways you got to train your body. So I did realize that was about 38, 39 degree water that we jumped into Vancouver Lake.
Did you check with your watch or anything?
The watch didn't record the temperature like it usually does, but that was what the report was it was 38, 39. So jumping in right away, as soon as your face gets in, completely agree with you seize up quick. So that is something to actually like when we try to do this again next year and try to make it more over a minute, like that's tough.
What I think you should do is like go in once a week so that you can get your body.
Yeah, you have to acclimate to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
just don't do it.
Just ride your bike.
Yeah. There you go. You have choices.
Or forget it all.
So are you going to go do this Alcatraz thing too?
In the future, I will try to race Alcatraz. I think you actually have to qualify as a pro to race for Alcatraz this year. So I'd have to do other escape races.
So you're going to do cold showers just to like support him or
no,
what?
Because I've got a goal of 2020, either 4 or 5. Me and Josh have not decided on the year yet. We're going to go race Norseman, which is a very cold triathlon in Norway.
You don't need to start taking cold showers now if you're not racing Norseman.
No, man, stop. Don't say anything.
How many week plans? What's a week plan on this
one? It's a 750.
We're going.
Plan. Lance wrote the program for him, so yeah.
We're starting the 150 week training program now. Okay.
I think you should probably be in a cold shower at this moment. But
I'm wasting time.
I do think that if you want to, say, like, do some open water swims in April, you know,
I think April's a good starting point.
Yeah, time frame, it hurts when you get in there to start with. And
it does.
And doing that slowly, as opposed to you and I just jumping in and trying to do 2000 the first day when it's like super freezing cold.
Yeah.
It's probably smart.
Yeah.
But
we did that in 2020, which I actually think was a little bit beneficial. We got him pretty early in 2020.
We got him pretty early in 2020. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. And I think that we could just like finish a run and go do a dip. And then I think our bodies could do that in, I don't know.
We could do that in March or something like that.
It's cold outside right now, and it's raining a lot. Just run in your Speedo, and you'll be good, right?
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. That way you're ready to just go straight
Except
in.
Not past my house.
I'm just going to jump in your pool.
Yeah, you can do that.
We do need your pool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Matt. Evan, are we done with you? Did you?
I don't have much of a backpedal.
We could have been done with me 5 minutes ago.
The pool, whenever it gets below freezing, they close the pool for a while. So I basically took at least a week or so off of swimming. The last swim I did, I did swim today, but the last swim I did before that was with Ethan, which was totally awesome. Oh, he like snuck in a swim with me. And
he's already fast.
Yeah, he's
took
getting,
him 1 year.
He's getting really fast.
Yeah, that surprised me.
If we race him in the IM, we have no chance. If we race him in freestyle, we got a chance. But
okay,
he's getting really fast. He's qualified for the state
championships. Can he like breaststroke? Is he like a decent breaststroker? He's
better than us.
Oh, God, that's so fast then.
Yeah.
that's where you lose all the time.
His breaststroke is his worst stroke for sure.
Still better than us, I'm sure.
Way better than us. I didn't
Ethan
swim as much.
Is your
oldest.
12?
He's 11, yeah.
He's 11.
Yeah, okay. He'll be 12 this summer.
The
and,
maturity of a 35-year-old, yeah, though, to be honest.
He's the most mature of any of the guys that I know around here.
Yeah, okay. He only likes to have adult conversations. Yeah.
And he's qualified for state, so he wants to qualify in a couple more events and things like that, and we're going to go to state instead of going on the dialed cycling training camp. I'll be going to Corvallis,
right?
To state. Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
State.
Yep.
Let's go, Ethan.
Let's go. And then I did a lot of riding on Zwift and a lot of runs. I think I ran like 3 or 4 days in a row.
I was stalking you so hard.
There are a lot happy. Of two. It's a lot it's of fine. Like go to do 2 miles. A lot of it with the family. A lot of it with Ethan. It's good. It's been good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
So there's that. Not much of a backpedal.
Sweet. I took a day off last week.
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay. So what? what
been
did
a year
the streak?
And a half.
What did the streak end at? Did it end at 500?
501.
501.
That was, okay. Gotcha. That was my goal. It was to Jesus get Christ. To. New Year's Eve was going to be 500, just by chance. Like,
and it was at least an hour every single day of those 500.
Minimum
right?
of an hour.
Minimum of an hour. Yeah. Yep. And oh my God.
It was 501 days, and we finished. And the reason why I say 501 is because on New Year's Day I always like to go out and do a ride.
Yeah.
And so that was 501. And awesome. What's nice is I haven't been on the trainer since last Thursday, and we record this on a Monday. That's a pretty good streak for me there, too.
4 days in a row.
I love how, like, 99% of America should be, like, making that goal of, like, okay, I'm going to get more active. And Jake's one goal is, like, on January 2nd, I'm going to not ride my bike, like, for once after 501 days.
My goal this year is to ride my bike less.
Less, yeah. That is the one.
So, yeah, I did number 500. I went out and did it by myself and just went and rode on the gravel and just kind of felt like doing a little solo thing. And I didn't want the 500th ride to be on the trainer. So yeah. I went out and it was 34 degrees, raining a little bit. Well, no, in the beginning. But then the sun came out and it was kind of nice. And like I alluded to earlier, it was above freezing. So the ground was still a little sloppy and got muddy. But it was fun. Had a good time. And then rinsed and repeat and came out and did almost the same ride. We added a few little things to it the next day when we did the team gravel ride. But that was a lot of fun too. And then yesterday was pacing, contemplating, looked at the trainer, and I just, at the end of the day, I didn't do it. And I put too many things on my list of things that I wanted to get done for the day on purpose so that I wouldn't be tempted to
just
go.
Like, so what's the plan for the rest of the week? I mean, you're just going to stare at that trainer tonight?
Yeah, I'm taking today off too. I'm taking 2 days off. That's good. Whopping 2 days, and then I'll be back for the team ride tomorrow. On
you're going to get on that like team ride on Tuesday and like drop a 400-watt 20-minute bomb just out of nowhere. It'd be like 2 days of recovery, and Jake's like 500 days of fitness.
I think it's kind of interesting. Jake's been buried for so long in doing this streak that he's actually not very fast right now.
No,
yeah,
right.
Massive aerobic.
I've lost a ton of fitness because of this.
It's like too much. It was like too. There was never enough recovery or high intensity work to actually improve his fitness.
Yeah.
It was just like keep the streak alive. You know?
You know, I had.
Let me be straight. He can still beat me at anything.
Oh God, yeah.
any distance. But this, any distance.
But this is a cool thing with today's topic that we'll talk about too. Is I actually think. If Jake takes a shift towards any level of even quality and 1 day off per week or 1 day super easy each week, there's going to be a massive increase in fitness in like a month or two, like going into training camp.
That's the hopeful plan. So yeah. I was very diligent from 2014 to 2018. It might even been more like 2013 to 2018. I had a very regimented program.
Yeah.
You know, I had, you know, blocks that were usually in the ballpark of 7-8 weeks. There was rest weeks built in there. I was always off on Mondays. Fridays were always easy ride. I always had my intervals and my tempo work and the group rides.
Hard longer rides and volume.
And I was hitting any time anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a week, and it was very diligent. And that's when I was the most fit. That was when I was, you know.
It's Cat 1-2 training. Yeah.
Carrying the best weight, and I was my FTP was the highest that it had ever been. And I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to see what I can do with that. So we'll see. It's – It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So
excited.
Good times. Yeah. But other than that, that's it's kind of nice to have that stupid thing behind me. And it was fun. And for a while, I blamed Lance because he wouldn't stop. And he had a few days on myself and Sean Martin. And we're like, well, if Lance is going to keep going, we're going to keep going because, you know, eventually he's going to quit. And we'll catch him and one-up him and just do one more day.
I had like 10 days on you or something like that.
And then Lance finally quit, and we kept
going. I quit at a respectable, like, 225, not 500. Yeah,
that's solid.
And then Sean's
225
like,
is solid.
Yeah, Sean's like, well,
Sean
let's
went
just,
for a while.
Let's just go to 365. Let's do a full year. And I'm like, I can do that. If you're going to do that, I can do that. And I'm like, I'm there for you, bud. And then at some point along the way, Matt's like, well, you've never done a calendar year. So I blame calendar year on Matt. So
calendar
the reason
year makes sense.
Yeah.
Calendar year makes sense.
That was the logical next step, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And,
yeah, your Strava stats for the year, your longest streak was 365 days.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You were the only person I follow on Strava. Now, I follow a lot of Olympians on Strava. You were the only one I saw that had a 365 there.
I have 365.
I saw some. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You had 365?
Not biking, but like swimming, biking, and running. I didn't miss any days.
You did every single day. Good for you.
Yeah, every day.
There were maybe
2 days where I counted your workout. I'm pointing out, like, this is like where we work out.
Yeah.
I think there were 2 days where I counted your workout.
It's a lift,
as,
yeah.
Yeah. It was like the only days where I was like, meh.
It's a soft count, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also only, like, I don't do an hour. Like, a lot of my runs are still an activity, 20 minutes of 30 minutes of running.
Yeah.
They're not that impressive, but.
Dude, even like Gustav Eden and Christian Blumenfeld were like 358, 359.
Well,
you were right there too, though.
I was 357. Yeah.
357. Yeah. But I mean, like, it makes sense to take days off.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people will take, you know, one day off a week on purpose.
Oh, I know pros that take 3 weeks and just do nothing. I would never tell anybody to do that. I think that's stupid. But yeah, there are guys who do that. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Now, I got
take some time.
I got to like October, and I was having pretty good fitness, and a lot of my rides were chunky, and I was on pace to hit like some numbers that I wanted to hit by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the wheels fell off. My shoulder went to crap.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like as soon as that happened, I started like, oh my gosh, this is starting to feel like a chore. This is stupid. Why am I doing this? I lost interest. I'm like, I got to still see it through, but I did it, but I lost a ton of fitness from October to the end of the year. Don't do this, folks.
Well, there was like zero intensity through that whole.
There was.
Tuesday ride, yeah.
And there were nights where I would go out there and I would like do a little bit of, you know, chasing like a C group or a B group, or I'm going to do some segments. I mean, there were a couple days in there, but there were so many times where like the only reason why I'm doing this is to get through the streak and just to break a sweat.
Yeah.
But you actually structured that through an off season. That's like even your finely tuned machines of teams will structure their off seasons where it's like 1 day of intervals a week, mostly base work, and then they get back to it in January, February is honestly where they start cranking again.
The reason why I think it's a good idea for some people is because it takes the question off the table. Like, are you going to bike today?
Yes.
Like, there's no question.
There's no question.
Like, your wife knows it. Your family knows it.
Oh,
like, everyone knows that, like, if it gets to be 6 p.m., like, you're still going to get on the bike. Like, it will happen. There's no question about it. Whereas now, today, there's, you know, like, oh, I'm, you know, like, you've already decided that you're going to take the day off. But, like, you know, like, throughout the process, it's nice to kind of have that like decision made for you, like yes, you're gonna bike today.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it's also think just it's for anybody getting into these sports. You think of triathlon too. I think of cycling. Running's a little bit different story, but actually running, you can still make the argument for it. For Jake, because Jake was at a very high level of fitness at one point. Was this the best thing for his FTP? Maybe not. But if you are like, I want to be a cyclist and I have never really done this before. And you're like, just get on the bike one hour a day for a year. By the end of the year, you're going to have a base to actually work some fitness from. Yeah. Instead of becoming obsessed with like, well, am I in my 85 percentile interval stuff? It's like, dude, you've been riding for like 3 months. It's okay. Just like get on and make it a habit. Just ride.
Right? Yeah. I think that's big. Making it a habit. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the topic.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to thank my wife though, for putting up with me through all of that.
It's huge.
It has to be so annoying from her perspective looking at me. And I always, like, there was times where I'm like grumpy. I'm like, I don't want to go do this because I have to go ride the bike. And she's like, and when you think about it, I'm like, that's so dumb. Like, why are you doing that?
All I can see is her going, you know, Jake, this is your dumb friend's fault.
No, it's always my fault. So, but thank
but
you.
But it does help too, because Becca's also very like regimented it. And based off. Yeah. Of, you know, she gets it definitely. Gets it, yeah. But she probably looks at you at some point. She's like, you know, a regimented training schedule would involve a rest day at some point if you're feeling like this.
She knows
her stuff well enough where she's like, yeah, this is dumb.
That's funny, but yeah, so. Don't do it, but do have good habits.
Don't do this at home,
so.
Do it. Do it, people.
We'll get
do
into
it.
More of this later.
Do it.
Do it.
Hey.
Champ Bailey. Top five? I think he's in the top five discussion. I mean, I'm not just going to go out.
All right, Champ Bailey, let's just do this real quick.
Champ.
Wout
Van Aert
is the best in the world ever.
Wout is the best.
On. Okay.
Tom Pickard tries really hard, though.
Okay, so Wout did win 7 races in a row.
Yes.
He lost yesterday.
Oh, he did?
I haven't seen yesterday's yet.
He lost yesterday.
You ruined it for me. God dang it.
Sorry. So
I was actually going to watch that this evening.
So lap one, this is, I think it was Holst was the name of the race. I can't remember. It's in Belgium somewhere. Lap one, there was a very bumpy short uphill.
And it looked kind of cool, actually.
His chain dropped and stuck and sucked.
Oh, no.
So he had to pull his bike off the course out of the way, and it took him a good 45 seconds to unstick his chain.
Oh, crap.
So by the time he got his chain unstuck, he was in 40th place.
So Wout didn't lose, his bike lost.
Correct. So he was in 40th.
Uh-huh.
He pulled himself back to 4th.
Oh, my gosh. Who ended up winning? Was it Pidcock?
Pidcock won.
36, guys.
Pidcock won by 15 seconds.
Was he chest pounding because he finally beat Wout?
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that I was right and Tom Pickett dominated this cyclocross season with a resounding victory yesterday.
He so badly wants to be Wout and
I know
MVP.
He does.
He does.
He's such a little guy.
He there was a story this morning on Bella News about how he came out and said, I am going to be as good at the classics as Wout and MVP.
How awesome is this though right now? I think anybody if you love classics and one day cycling and cyclocross, this is a great era for it.
It is.
I heard somebody recently that I was listening to a podcast. They were arguing about how cycling's not as fun to watch anymore because guys like MVP are too robotic. I was like, you're not even watching racing if you think guys like MVP and Wout are robotic.
That's
they're
not
like
robotic
emotional
right there.
And these guys.
Froome is robotic.
Yes.
Those guys are like.
The Grand Tours are not as exciting, in my opinion, as they were even in the Lance era, even though I know some people would argue that was dominant. There were characters during that time period. That's what classic cycling is now. Right. All the best characters in cycling, Alaphilippe, Sagan, MVP, Wout, Tom Pidcock, all those guys now, Remco Evenepoel, This is the era for classic.
What's interesting
cycling.
Is it could be the era for the next 5 years.
Looking these guys forward, are all young.
Yeah. Looking forward looks better than looking back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially for the classics, the classics in particular, looks really good.
Well, it's just fun when you see somebody like Vanderpool or Van Aert, see them do so well, and then all of a sudden, all the teams are like, "Oh, wait a second, we got to go find ourselves."
Got to find a young guy. Yeah.
And they're doing that. So Pidcock is going to be one of them, and then there's going to be a few others. So it's going to be exciting to watch these guys. But I'm curious, how long are they going to last? Because they're burning the candle at both ends.
They really are
all year.
Yep.
How long are they going
to
last?
Do you know who else I'm excited to see if America can toss his name in there? I think a guy like Lawson. I think Craddock can be a one-day guy.
No.
Can be a real... Oh, come on.
Not with those guys.
Maybe. He's not Wilder MVP. But he could be a top 10 classics day guy consistently, I think.
I'll see.
Yep. Pretty
crazy. We need somebody.
We need someone.
On the women's side, Lucinda Brand has not lost in a week and a half. So she's got a winning streak going of 10 races or something that. So also
she's in the press,
amazing.
Too, for criticizing the UCI for this whole lap traffic rule that they have.
Yes, it affected one of the women's races because a lapped rider didn't quite get out of the way very well, and it
that makes a difference in cyclocross, huge difference.
Yeah,
especially in the muddier races when you watch some of these races, there's one line you can reasonably take.
Usually the lapped riders see it coming and kind of get out of their way, and this woman just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And she got in the way.
It happens. I mean, think about track and field, right? The same thing happens in track and field. There's no
rule. Being one of those pros has been lapped before. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I've been there. But there's no rule that you have to slide out to lane 2 or get out of anyone's way. You just do it out of respect for the race.
Track and field's always interesting because you can tell when somebody's not going to, and it's interesting to watch a lead group have to adapt to that.
Yeah.
So it does affect the race.
But and you should like pick up your pace and get on their back because you're going to get like that draft from that person or whatever the deal is. But you should still pay a little bit of respect and like get out
move
of their
way. Second. Yeah, move to second lane.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not winning the race. No. You're getting lapped, buddy.
You're not closing that.
I have been there. Yeah, I have been there. Right. Even at like peak fitness, I've been lapped off the track.
Interestingly enough, for the world championships that are happening in Fayetteville, there's still big questions about Wout and MVP, whether they will even come to Arkansas. Mm. Wout has not committed to it yet. And I think part of it is this rise in Omicron. He is not committed to come to America, and America isn't taking it all that seriously, and so he's not sure he wants to come yet, so he hasn't made a decision about that yet.
Now, I do think that people in Arkansas are taking this virus very seriously.
Yeah, if I know anything about Arkansas.
Science. They believe in the science.
The state of Arkansas only has a 50% vaccination rate at this point. Only 50% of the people have been vaccinated.
Can we move it to Washington?
A lot of our listeners are in
Arkansas.
Seriously,
do we want to move it to let's move it to Seattle.
So that's disappointing, you know,
but like,
for them.
I mean, you think about it too for these guys, especially a Wout and MVP that are now going to be going into a big road season for them.
Yep.
Right.
Big road season.
Do I risk that?
Yeah, because I mean, if one of these guys gets, I mean, these guys are always walking such a fine line of fitness. Yep. I know it just in the last couple of books I've read, it is historically hilarious what they will do to not get sick when they're walking the line. They literally call it the razor's edge is what they call it. And like Tyler Hamilton used to like not shake people's hands.
Right.
He used to wear mask places that was like,
where it was weird.
Just like before that was even a thing. Just be walking. He was like, why is Tyler wearing a costume? Like, oh no, he doesn't want to get sick. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But like,
that makes
sense. If you're Wout right now and you're hitting amazing fitness, he's walking the razor's edge. I mean, like, is it worth it coming to Arkansas?
Vanderpool was planning on it and had geared up for it because he is the defending world champion.
Yeah, he kind of needs to be there.
And wants to be there, but his back is not good. And so he...
It's contagious, Lance.
He...
good job, Lance. Well,
let's blame Lance for that one.
Are you Dutch?
Must be. His is from a wreck, and then...
a serious wreck.
He was actually in a race and was losing places and pulled out with like two laps to go, so he didn't even finish one of the cyclocross races, and he hasn't raced since then. Mm. So he's not even sure if he's going to go, so... It should be interesting to see what actually happens.
Wow, it smells blood in the water right now.
Or Pitcock smells it.
It could be. It could be him.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's happening. On the
say that both those guys don't show up.
Tom wins. Woo!
Tom, do you think
it's
do you think he deserved? I mean, yeah, he deserved it because he showed up to the race. You got to do the race, but I mean,
dude, Tom went out and won the Olympic gold medal in the mountain bike cross country race.
Yeah.
So he's a road biker. So all to him.
Two races and Pitcock, I mean, that'd be a fun race to watch, but
Tom is my favorite cyclist in the world right now. For one reason is because he's like an unpolished version of Alaphilippe. Alaphilippe always looks cool, but is like this tiny little guy where you're like, he's kind of like goofy, but he's like polished and cool and French.
Yeah.
Pitcock is that version, but not cool and suave in any way. And he's just like this kid that just showed up. And
guys,
it's like,
guys, come on, wait for me.
Yeah,
guys, come on.
Exactly. So you love to see that guy win.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, this is the core of this sport. This sport is like unpolished at times. And
he's only like, what is he, 22 or 23?
I don't know, 14. Like he looks like he's so young.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. On the American side, the women, Hansinger did crack the top 10 in one of the races.
Good job.
She hasn't had great results over there, but she's still gearing up and hoping to have a good go at Arkansas.
At the home country race.
What's the date on Arkansas? When is it? It's coming up?
It's
like 2 weeks?
3 weeks?
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know.
It could be cold in Arkansas in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Google it.
Yeah.
It could. They could.
Well, not you guys. I'm just telling the listeners.
Yeah, actually, I might too.
Somebody find out.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So I guess that's enough stuff. There's been a bunch of like team changes and whatnot in through the cycling industry, people swapping teams and changing sponsors, but we don't need to talk about that.
Yep. We'll save that for later.
Champ out.
See ya, champ. Hey, let's get into our topic. There's other stuff that I was going to do today, but we'll kick that over into next week. We're trying to be a little bit time sensitive here. Some of the boys have things to do. We're going to talk about habits this week. Habits are, you know, something that they kind of come up this time of year. I don't think this group is really about the New Year's resolution, but
wrong.
I'm all about it.
So we're not really into the New Year's resolution, and we do set goals to a certain degree, but those, it's almost cliche because nobody ever follows through on all that. But this group here is really good about creating good habits. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I think that's where people really find good success, is creating good habits as opposed to having goals or resolutions of things that you say you're going to do. It's like, if you can create a habit, you're going to have better success. So mm-hmm. I want to kick this around the table and kind of let you guys all have your little input, and we'll maybe help some people find some good habits and maybe talk about some habits that you're looking to create for this year as well, so that folks can kind of play along at home.
Mm-hmm.
Evan.
I'm going to eat fudge while we're talking about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not even, that's not actually a joke. I am going to eat fudge while I'm doing this.
My new habit that I'm trying to establish is a little bit of yoga mm-hmm. each day, like 15 minutes, just a little bit. I'm not going heavy as Lance is.
But that's smart that you're taking the approach of I'm doing a little bit of this to start.
Is that a good idea?
That's good because
start off smaller. Should I go all in?
No, go that's all in. Clearly, that's the way.
Do you remember P90X? Take that P90X yoga tape. It's 90 minutes long. It's the hardest thing I've ever attempted in my entire life. I tried that 15 years ago. I remember I was like 16 or 17.
When you're 16 or 17, you can almost do anything.
Like me cramping up on the top of St. George Hill and not being able to make it down wasn't even comparable to the pain I felt during those 90 minutes of that yoga X.
That's the stuff that, like, anytime I start something new, like I do want to start doing some weights and some stuff like that I'm mm-hmm. not doing right now at all. I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going on with my like swim club place. But like at the same
time,
come hang out with us. Cascade's great. Yeah. But, I'm just figure out what's going on with that. And maybe I go do some more stuff there. Who knows? But I do want to do more weights and stuff like that this year too, but I'm not doing it as of January 1st, just because the timing's not going to work. But those are definitely habits that I want to start.
So how do you go about like creating a habit? Like how do you, you say I'm going to go do this stuff. Do you have anything that helps set you up to create habits that actually stick?
I think if I were really good at, I'm not good at this, but like if I were, it'd be like, okay, same time of day, start doing these things like certain mm-hmm. times of day. Like
that's a great thing right there. Yeah.
You wake up, you have your coffee and you do your yoga.
Yep.
Or before you go to bed, brush your teeth, you do your yoga, right? Mm-hmm. Like that could be cool. Those are helpful. I'm not necessarily doing that yet, but you know, hopefully I'll get there where I have a time of day that I like that fits very well, but.
How about you, Evan? What's one thing that you do to actually establish a habit?
Yeah, I think this, and this is, I'm just going to get super metaphorical now and all out there with this. So, because this comes around every year, and I will be honest, being a physical therapist and a coach over the last couple of years, this is every single year we run into this conversation. And I used to really brush off goals and resolutions and say we're not even going to talk about them. I just want your habits for these next couple of weeks, which I still truly believe. I think that's the best ways. I think in triathlon specifically, we get a little bit too into the talking about goals and resolutions. It almost becomes like the most important part of the season for everybody.
Yeah. Way more important than racing.
Let's make these goals and then develop any habit and tell everybody.
You tell everyone about your goals. You don't have to do them. You don't have to worry about them.
I have friends and people I follow. I almost want to have a sit down with them at the end of the year and be like, here, I'm going to pull up your January 1st post. Did you do any of these? And 99% of the time, the answer is no, because usually the people that feel the need to tell everybody the goals that they're going to do are not actually going to follow through on them. It's a cold, hard truth.
I feel like I've heard two different things. One is it's good to, good to like make these goals and post it or whatever. And then the other side is like, no, that's a strike against you.
It is. The only reason is because I think it puts external pressure on you. So I do like goals and resolutions for one reason, but there's a reason. So when we're talking about habits, there's got to be a dopamine response for you to build this habit. The bottom line is you can only do something you hate for so long unless you are Jake Von Dering and is able to just freaking get on that bike. But even with that daily you hating it, you love cycling more than anything. So that dopamine response came from your overarching goal. If you do not have an overarching goal, the resolution is garbage and will never happen.
It's interesting that you mentioned the dopamine response is because what I've read a long time ago was that if you're posting your goals, you're getting that dopamine response from posting
just
your goals.
Posting the goal,
is why I think the wrong thing. That's not what you want.
Little things but the bottom line is we humans all respond to dopamine. I mean, why are cigarettes so hard to quit? That's a little dose of dopamine every single time you do it. Why are we all addicted to our phones?
But for goals, I think if it's
like if you were to tell us some sort of goal, I think you would not get a dopamine response from that. You would get like the
opposite
effect.
Yeah, no, I would get the opposite.
I cringe. Oh my God, yeah. When I tell people a goal because I don't want that.
But we got to think how 98-99% of America's minds are wired.
There's an Instagram culture. That's annoying that has that whole like this. And this look at this, guys. Look at it.
And understand that I'm hating this as I'm saying it because it goes against everything that I believe with endurance sports is do it quietly and humbly. That's honestly what I believe about endurance sports. I think the greatest runners of all time are usually the ones you barely ever heard about until
they don't post
till they dropped a 58-minute half marathon out of nowhere. Yeah. So I think that what's important is you've got to realize, okay, what is my overarching goal? Are these habits giving me that enjoyment of knowing I'm moving towards that? If they are, cool, continue them. If your only goal is I want to look good in the mirror, guess what? 0% chance that crap's happening. And I don't even want to hear your goal.
I don't know if I believe you on that one because I think for some people,
it's garbage. It's a garbage resolution.
Sure, it is, but it could work.
But those people
for
who want to look good in the mirror, sometimes they do have an overarching goal.
You do look good naked.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you also want to ride your bike fast.
Naked.
If I told you, let me give you a scenario. You could have a 4-pack or
Dr.
a 6-pack.
Lance Hepler.
4-pack or a 6-pack, Lance. But if you have the 6-pack, you're not making a podium that year. If you have the 4-pack, you're making 10 podiums.
I'll take the podiums.
There you go. You'll take the 4-pack. So your overarching goal is that. There has to be some actual thing that you can point to when the day sucks, when you're like, this is the reason I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Trust me. Most of my swims I don't want to do. But I remember what it feels like to have the entire pack move away from me in every single freaking pro race I've done so far.
Yes.
Yeah, there's my overarching goals. That's not a good feeling. I don't want that to happen anymore. So I agree that like habits are the most important thing, but there does have to be, in today's culture with most people, you need to have a North Star. There's got to be some North Star.
Okay, so not putting it out there, not telling the world, I'm going to do this. I mean, I get that, but...
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Do you find value in letting anybody know? Like if I were to go to Lance and say, Lance, this year I'm going to do X and I want you to help me hold it to it. And even better yet, I want you to do it with me and I'm going to write it down and I'm going to make this known. Like I'm not going to put it out there to the universe to get my accolades. Like you go, dude, you got this. And like you see that happening. But if I go to somebody where there's an accountability there, I think that there's value
partners. Your close training partners, I think is important. I agree with you. I think that the Instagram post is a bad idea. I think like the Instagram post where you're like, I am going to do these two things today.
Post
like,
right now.
Neat.
A 6-pack.
My goal is a 6-pack.
A 6-pack, please do.
No, but especially like a spouse or someone like that where it's like, because a lot of, I mean, I think in all four of our cases, I mean, you're married practically.
Just about,
It's one of those things where it's almost if your goal was to ride every day of the year, which I know it's not for 2022, but like you kind of have to have the family sign on board for that. Yep. And so I do think a family goal or whatever it is worth mentioning in that regard. My running joke with my wife was always every year she would kind of just ask me for, I don't know, however long we've been married. I don't know how long that is. Long time. It feels like forever. But she would, you know, every year she would ask me and every year I would just say, oh, just run more than whatever last year was.
Yeah.
I never do it, but that's always been the thing. And she even this year, she'll just be like, what's your goal? And she's like, run more again. And I'm like, well, and then I did tell her like, oh, I want to start doing some yoga. I don't think I mentioned anything about like doing some weights or anything like that, but like, you know, that sort of stuff. And so I think that if she sees that, you know, not that I'm posting it to Instagram, I guess we're talking about it on the podcast, but like, if she knows that like one of my goals is to do more yoga or a little bit of yoga or to try to get better at it, then I think that she can be supportive. And, you know, if I'm saying like, I'm going to go do some yoga upstairs, then she knows like, okay, well, this is one of his goals. Like I can manage the kids for the next 15 minutes or 30 minutes or however long it is. So that's helpful.
Yeah, it is.
And it's also, I mean, like you're only going to be internally truly motivated maybe 200 days out of the 365 in a year. Yeah. So if you can have somebody on those days when you're like, I don't want to do this right now. She's like, you need to go do your yoga
now.
That's going to help you third of the time because let's be honest, nobody is, as much as Instagram would say otherwise, nobody's constantly motivated. It's like, you're motivated maybe 30% of the time. I would say like, I'm like truly motivated to do something maybe a third of my workouts throughout the year.
Yeah. Lance, what's some of the core infrastructure to the Hepler focus when you create your habits that you stick to?
Well, Evan's not going to like this, but accountability is a big one.
Lance has got to tell everybody. Lance has to tell everybody.
Are you accountable?
I need somebody to fully attack this because trust me, when I say like resolutions are dumb, I know people get angry about it.
Are you accountable to Strava?
Well, I have to be accountable to somebody. I mean, okay, more than just myself, because yes, I'm definitely internally motivated to be fast and be fit and try to win things. And I have goals to try to win races and to not get dropped on climbs. And you know,
but you don't have a coach that holds you accountable.
I don't have a coach that holds me accountable. So I need to be accountable to somebody, whether that's
Strava
Jake or well, Strava's just another social media platform.
I am accountable to Strava. I'll be completely honest. I'm 100% accountable.
Nobody
to Strava.
Freaking cares. Nobody cares. Like they'll see you do cool
we
things like, "Hey, good job,"
and then your thing, and we all think like, "Man, people are looking at this and thinking it's cool." Nobody cares.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even post mine this year. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't even post mine either. I've got screenshots of it, but I'm like, I don't need to post this.
I post mine for one funny reason, is because Cassie pointed out, she said, you were within 1 hour of what you trained in 2020 and within 3 hours of what I did in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So it made me realize how amazingly boring and consistent my training cycle is. I did 9:05 in 2020 and 9:06 in 2021.
Wow.
Evan makes everybody feel bad as soon as he posts it. Like, dude, I cracked 500 hours this year. I'm so awesome. And then Evan posts it up like 900 something. Like, dude, he almost like 2x'd me.
Everybody should look at that and be like, wow, that was 400 extra hours. I got to do fun stuff while Evan was doing nothing.
Oh, who was it on the team?
I'm on the trainer.
Finished the year with 9,999 miles. Was that Scott Carroll?
Somebody did that.
Scott Carroll did 9,999.
Like somebody like, why the hell did you not go out?
I would have gotten so
funnier.
It's
funnier.
My God, that's hilarious. I'm so glad he did that, but that would drive me absolutely insane.
That would drive me crazy, too.
That's funny.
I think Richie Port did 25,000 miles.
Oh, my God.
I follow him on Strava just
He's
for fun.
He's insane
and
on
he
Strava.
He does a lot of centuries.
25,000 miles.
He does so much climbing, too.
Yeah, a lot.
All the
it's
time.
A lot of climbing, too.
Isabel King, the female that lives in, I think she lives in L.A., she did 23,000 miles and 1.5 million feet of climbing.
Whoa. 1.5. Okay, that's amazing because Phil Guymon, training for Everestine, did 1 million.
Did
so
million.
That, she's, wow.
She did 1.5 million. 1.5.
Anyway. I couldn't hang for 1 week of training with that.
I got side-reeled by stats. Stat time.
Stats. So accountability, just put it out there. And I think some people are going to respond well to that. Because if you put it out into the universe, you think everybody's paying attention, whether they are or they're not, it's going to motivate you to follow through on your promise.
Yes.
And for you, like
I respond well to that.
And like when you tell your people, I'm going to do this, you know that that's something that carries weight. And you have that expectation that I'm going to follow through and I'm going to show you that I can do what I'm going
to
do.
It's more than just, okay, guess what? I have made a goal to accomplish this in the next 3 weeks and I'm telling you I'm going to do that. It's that it's going to be double checked on in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That have you actually accomplished this?
Yeah.
That notion of something that is recorded and shared with somebody and held accountable for is extremely motivating for people.
So who holds you accountable?
My wife and Jake, they're basically the same person.
Oh, shit.
Things just got weird.
It just got weird.
Lance Hepler.
Sorry.
It's three of my college buddies that I'm very close with. We hold each other accountable. During my entire business career, I had a mentor that I worked with that I would meet with monthly to go over things.
People don't understand how valuable that is. I didn't have that when I was starting my business, and there were certain people that came along throughout the course of that. It made such a huge difference, and it's something that not just for like business related things, but just life in general.
Yeah.
Having a mentor, a good mentor, can pay huge dividends.
Oh, wait. You mean in like 4 days, I actually have to revisit these goals that I told you I was going to do? And I'm like, I can't just record them on January 1st
Forget
about it. No, we're actually going to sit down and talk about these things. Oh, my gosh.
That right there. A lot of times for a lot of people in what we're talking about, coach.
Yes.
Get a coach.
You need a coach.
Yeah. Coaches help.
Yeah. A good coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, my business coach. I mean, the first like 7-8 years of my career, I was just trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And then I ended up finding this very good coach that I connected with very well.
Mm-hmm.
And my like productivity doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
doubled.
Cool.
So it just like took off from there. And the whole issue was around accountability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who am I accountable for? Who is that going to be? And usually with sports, it's a coach. It's somebody that you're with. And as adults, you know, it's harder to like make the commitment to actually have a coach. And I've done that several times. I don't actually have a coach right now. I have a coaching plan that I am accountable with. And I actually, this year, the coaching plan I picked, I actually picked the same plan as a teammate so that we could be accountable with each other.
Oh, that's good.
Surratt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing the exact same plan. That's another good guy to have in your court. 40 watts higher than mine.
Yeah.
It's a good guy to have in your
yeah.
corner.
Yeah. So we can talk about, you know, okay, this is what's coming up and this is, you know, or how did you feel about this?
So are we doing Leadville in July then? That's what I'm hearing is that is that you and Surratt are coming with me, David, and Dustin to go do.
Yeah, you have a good group going now.
I know. And Kit's going to be there. All right. And Lance is coming. This is going to be great.
This is going to be amazing. I would love to do Leadville someday, but I also know that
this
I'm
is the
not
stage
good.
Race, remember, not the actual Leadville. Yeah.
I'm not good at over. I don't like
you think
doing
I'm good at this?
100 mile races. It's not
yeah,
my
but
jam.
I think all the stages are like 40 to 60K or something like that.
No, they're like 40 to 60 miles.
There's a stage race version of Leadville that they're doing. They're not doing the one day.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's 3 days and it's like 100K each day. Yeah.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd actually come kick your ass at that.
Oh, you would destroy me. You would destroy me. Kit's the same way right now. Kit knows. He told me, he's like, I don't even care if you drop me on any of these climbs. He's like, you are such a bad mountain bike descender. I'll be able to put 15 minutes into you coming down from whatever it is, the
power line.
Yeah. He's like, I will drop you 40 times over on that descent.
That's awesome.
This is what happened. You know, our teammate, Chris Hannell, who is this beast on the road, he bought a gravel bike. And
that's
he's going to be doing some gravel races this year.
Yeah, it's all over for everybody.
And we were talking about this, and I'm like, oh, great. So now you and Hatfield can both drop me up every climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Hatfield's comment was, it doesn't matter. If there's a five-mile descent coming up, you're going to catch it.
That's the difference between road cycling and mountain biking. Is that on mountain biking, that's actually a crucial
skill. You know what, though? Were you watching Hannell? That SOB looked pretty damn smooth. Just like fish and water on this gravel bike. I'm like, not great. Another thing for him to come destroy.
I ripped one of the descents and I turned around and I'm like, Hannell's right there.
Yeah, I have no doubt he's gonna win a lot of gravel
he's
races.
Right there. Yeah. Okay, great.
Oh, that's crazy. Something that works really well for me, and there's a couple different ways that you can do this, is to document and to track and to keep record of your goals or your habits, rather, that you're trying to establish so that you've got some sort of means of like going back and looking or getting affirmation that, right, I'm still doing this. I get to go check the box. You know, there are habit trackers out there that you can use. Strava, though, it is kind of a good thing because I know that when I go back and I look at my calendar, I know that nobody else is looking, but I always think that somebody's looking. You know, somebody's looking at my calendar.
Right.
And you can look at the days of the week, and you know that you're supposed to be doing a rest day on this day, and then you need to have each day after that checked, and then, you know, on those certain days that you're supposed to be doing certain stuff. I mean, that, in essence, is kind of a tracking mechanism that you can use to make sure that you're staying, you know, true to what you said that you're going to do. And if your goal is to get faster, and usually you're going to tie that to something like mileage. I don't think that mileage is necessarily the best thing, but hours is really, for me, that's the end all be all. Like, I know that this year I will aim to ride about, I don't know, 520, 530, 100, 530 hours. And if I'm not doing that, they've actually got a thing that will show you your progress of how far ahead or if you're on track or how far behind you are. And
does
I use that as a litmus test.
Does it like zap you in the ass?
Yes, exactly.
It does. Go get on the bike.
Yeah.
But that coupled with a habit tracker and then, you know, making notes and documentation of what you, whether it be for food, whether it be for fitness, whether it be for like a day that you didn't do something that you're trying to break, having that box that you can check, you don't want to go back and see that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So there's something just for you to like, all right, I'm still doing this, and it's just one day at a time.
Yep.
Do you guys do that? Do you guys use any other?
I do set goals on Strava.
Yep.
So that it pushes me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think I've always done them with mileage goals, not hour goals, and I should probably change that. But
I think
I think there's value in both. But yeah, I mean, like I'm always time. I'm like Jake.
If you're just a roadie, it's like pretty cool to say, yeah, I broke 10,000 miles this year. But if you ride a lot of mountain bikes, you're not gonna hit that. Nope. So it's like more like, all right, well, hours. I think
quality and hours.
Yeah, it transcends all of the sports.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I, you know, hit, that was like 499. And I was like, oh, crap. I was trying to hit 520 for the year, but 499 for the year, you know, that's good for me. But then you go look at somebody like Evan that was 900 something. It's like, oh, God, I'm a nobody. But
I would hope I'm hitting numbers
my,
like that.
That's, my hours in 2021 and 2020 were fairly similar.
Yep.
But it was 4,000 miles less.
Oh, wow.
In 2021.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I did so much more mountain bikes and cross racing. Yeah.
Matt, do you track anything? Do you use any apps? Have you created any apps that do that kind of tracky thing?
I use like spreadsheets sometimes.
Spreadsheets. So, yeah. Gotcha. And Evan, do you track anything other than using Strava?
Strava. I used to, like Matt did, I used to have agendas where I would just write into there. Gotcha. I really liked the physical process of writing for whatever reason I thought
loved
was cool.
Having,
and I would total it up at the end of the week. So always I had notebooks like that. That's great. Yeah, I liked it.
That's cool. What else do you guys use to set good habits in motion?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things is, so one, I was just having this talk with one of the people I coach, is we were talking about, so when you're building habits over time, especially as a triathlete, and you're like, okay, I feel like I have a good base. I want to now start setting like time goals. Like I want to be this fast, which I think is good. As long as it's just like we were just talking about, conversation with people that are actually going to hold you accountable and not this overarching pressure of I'm going to post this on Facebook or Instagram and just hold myself like a gun at gunpoint from my perception of people caring about that around me. So it's let's be honest, most of us have probably forgotten what anybody else wrote down as their goal by the time you read it and then you go on to something else.
Right.
So those people that are important and around you, yes, that's good. But I think the problem is especially with intensity. So people really put a lot of pressure on themselves. I'll use triathlon as an example where it's like, let's say you had that run workout today. And you're like, all right, I'm trying to build these habits, but God, I didn't get a good night of sleep last night. The kids are being a nightmare.
Right.
I had to wake up for the dog. I just don't feel good. I'm just going to move that to Friday. And you get in the habit of now moving workouts around when you feel good. Now, I will do that sometimes, but 98% of the time, just do something that day. So if you know that, hey, today I'm not going to be able to hit 4x4 minutes at 120 of my FTP, like it's just not happening. Like nervous system's not there, muscles feel bad, respiratory, no matter how much I want to dig into the pain locker, it's never going to happen. Like I just can't hit these numbers. Then don't watch the numbers. Just do the effort.
Right.
I think people get locked into these intervals need to happen and they will bury themselves to make it happen or they'll just quit and not do it.
So if you're on Zwift and you're trying and you're doing it on erg mode,
turn off erg mode.
You have to.
Don't even look at the numbers.
You have to.
Don't even look.
Have your finger on the erg button so you can turn it off. Because if you hit the death spiral, your workout is over.
Exactly. And I've even done workouts where I'll turn off erg mode, then all of a sudden, the next interval, the legs come back, and it's like, okay, we're back into this. Yeah, it's good.
The thing,
You're still getting a physiological response out of that. It's just this obsession with, and I have some of my young athletes that'll do this. They'll like get into a workout and the first two numbers don't look right. And you see this in your cross country and they quit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing is quitting is just as, and this is not me trying to be like a talk, but like quitting is just as much of a habit as being the person who grinds through workouts. I'll take the kid who grinds through workouts all day.
Yep.
Cause that is a lost skill in this next generation of endurance athletes is that ability to like grind when it sucks. So I'll take that kid and learn and teach him when to hold back.
Right.
Than the kid who has now made quitting a habit. Cause if you make quitting a habit, turning that around is a nightmare. It is so hard to turn that around in a young kid.
It's like a race. It's like you can't go out and quit a race.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're hurt, sure, but never DNF.
Because think about it. What's the main difference between a guy like Wout and MVP and some of these other guys in those pro fields? People don't seem to understand. A lot of these FTPs and their ability is pretty close. Like, we're talking a percentile between these top-end guys.
Right.
They are all insanely fit. But what's the guy that isn't usually winning? It's not that he doesn't have the power available to beat MVP and Wout. It's that MVP and Wout have made a habit of they nail it when it matters. Mm-hmm. Like when it matters, they're going to nail it every single time.
Yep.
And I mean, you think about you look at guys who historically were always second or third place. I don't think it was a skills or genetics thing. It was because when that moment came each time, they just weren't fully committed there.
Sure. Yeah.
So scaling that all the way back down to a person who says, I just want to do my first 5K. It's like, all right, if on Thursday you've made this habit now that when you're underslept and don't feel good that you just do nothing, Yeah. Instead of, hey, my 4x400 workout's not going to happen today, but I'm going to go out and jog regardless, then you're going to be successful.
Yep. I always liken it to you get a book, you get 365 pages in said book, and you want to write something in every single page.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, it all adds up. And maybe that day it wasn't like full or chock full of all kinds of exciting stuff, but at least you wrote something down and it adds to the story. And you can have your little climax later on, or you can have your, your peaks in there, but do something.
Yep.
Do something because it all adds up.
Exactly.
That's a good one. Anything else that you guys have habit wise? Anything? Do you guys do rewards? That's my last bit. Do you guys reward yourself ever?
Pizza.
I think sometimes the reward is whatever it is. Like the reward is doing well at a race, or the reward is
getting
to do the race.
Matt, can you describe to anybody when you had your PR Ironman, how good was that feeling at the finish line outside of your body hurting more than anything in the world?
I mean, so my PR was a little bit weird just because...
You didn't quite hit your goal, but it was still good.
Well, it's fine. But I mean, it's always... Like it's always something that you have, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's very rewarding to have a decent time and just to be able to like say sub 10 hours in the Ironman, like a big barrier that, that I snuck under.
Or as Yumi would say, 9 hours. Yeah.
And just we're
9:59 is the same thing as 9:01. Yeah. That's the same exact thing.
I'm also a 4 minute miler.
Yeah.
And a 4 minute miler and a 9 hour. I'm a 9 hour.
Exactly.
Ironman. So, yeah.
I try not to do the reward thing too much because I think that again leads to bad habits. And I generally try and remind myself that, a lot of times like it's weight derivative, like a lot of the stuff, like how we perform as cyclists comes back to like, yes, did you do the work in your FTPs there? But if your weight's all out of whack, then that doesn't matter because your watts per kilogram is going to suck. So I've always told myself, you've heard the saying before, like nothing tastes as good as healthy feels.
Right.
So I take out the healthy feels as good as winning feels or as an accomplishment of my goal feels. So
what about this peanut butter fudge, though?
It tastes pretty
That's
good.
Why I'm giving it to Evan.
Poor Evan.
Yeah. Evan's taking it.
So Evan, I think we're going to wrap this up real quick. Evan, do you want to do one last thing before you scoot out of here real quick? Got any like one last thing?
Taking the fudge with me is one thing.
One last thing. Fudge.
One last thing. Do I have any one last things right now? We got to set up this race with Ethan before he gets too fast.
Yeah,
and I think
now's
the
time.
We probably got a 2 week window before he's going to be entirely too fast.
I think we should I think what we should do is have an IM 100 IM, and we should do like an open 100 too, because that's the only freestyle 100. Yeah, that's where we have a chance.
How are things go over at the endurance lab before you scoot out of here?
It's going well? Wonderful. Yeah, good. I'm bringing in a new PTA, which is going to be fun to bring her into the fold. Yes, her name is Alexa, and she's awesome. So she's from Coeur d'Alene, which. She does not do triathlon, but anybody in the triathlon world knows that that's an awesome endurance sports location.
Spot.
So, yeah.
Cool.
All right, folks. I will see you later.
See ya.
Happy New Year, Evan. All right. Well, we are done with the topic, so.
Okay.
Good habits make them.
Buried.
Lance, do you have one last thing?
Come
back to you? let me ask for your one last thing. You want to tell us where you might be doing some recording? Are you going to record with us next week? Are you going to be on?
You're going to be on the road?
I will be in Hawaii. I already mentioned it.
We talked about Hawaii?
Yeah, because I'm going to shave my beard.
Well, yeah, but are you going to be on the podcast if we do the podcast next week? Are you going to do the hammock thing again on the beach?
I could do the hammock thing from the beach again.
Are you going to bring a bike?
I am taking a bike, yes. Me and my wife are both taking our bikes because, again, still COVID numbers are not good, we will not be like...
Hanging out at restaurants?
No, we won't be going to restaurants or big place. We will be like sticking it out on our own. So
cool.
I'm going to the Big Island for a week with the wife, and hopefully I can ride bikes while I'm there.
Sweet. Yeah. Got any like segments that you're going to chase?
You have a teammate that is there right now that took a KOM or two from me on the Big Island.
Oh, man.
He's still there. He's been there for like 3 months.
I know. I
3 or 4 months.
I'm still curious how that works, but his wife just had their fifth kid.
Yes.
Like a month before they went. And then they had this opportunity to go over there. I think they rented out their house and then they rented out a house over there. And
there's some kind of work thing that they're going on.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole story either.
It's pretty cool, whatever he's doing, but yeah.
But he's still there. Cool. But so if I go and take that K-1 back,
he's there.
Still there.
Yeah.
He'll go get it from me again.
You could take it and just kind of keep it in your back pocket, just not post the ride
until I leave.
Exactly.
Until he leaves.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, I forgot to post this.
That's nasty. That's nasty.
doing them dirty.
I don't know. I'm really not all that fit right now. I don't even know if I get those KOMs back that I
something to go play with.
Go see. I don't know.
Mr. Matt, you got one last thing for us?
I always have a video or something.
Yeah. What's in the hopper for this week?
This week I'm going to post, last week I posted some like end of the year kind of stuff. Yeah. This week I'm going to post like predictions for 2022.
Predictions in triathlon?
Well, no, more like sports tech kind of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Sports cool. tech, like which watches I think are going to come out, which, you know, my guess is that Wahoo will release a new trainer at some point, probably next fall. Who knows?
There'll be two years into the
2021.
Now, we saw some pictures of those rollers. Did you see any of those at some of the road races?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That would have been good to mention.
That's probably one of those things that'll come out.
Yeah, maybe.
They weren't too coy about like putting that out there, but
I was surprised that there weren't like more power meter things this past year.
It was a weird year because of all of the supply chain issues.
Weird stuff going on.
There's probably a lot of technology stuff that's building up, a lot of stuff that's ready.
I think Garmin has a lot of stuff.
In the queue, yeah.
Yeah, in the queue.
That could be fun.
It could be really fun. Oh, it could be a fun year.
What do you think about that new Zwift bike? Did anybody see that?
Yeah,
watch DC Rainmaker's video on that?
I'm not sure. We'll see. It kind of just looks like a regular bike.
It looks like the Tron bike on.
It looks like a Tron bike, and then it looks like it's attached to like a Trax Neo. That's what it looks like.
Yeah,
to me.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I mean, I just want the quality to be good. I just think that if you buy a big setup like that, like the quality is so good. Like you're dealing with that right now, right? Like, did you?
Well,
from Wahoo.
Yeah, the kicker bike
is fantastic.
Yeah, right? Jake's been riding that and loves it. It doesn't take up a ton of space, whereas this Zwift bike is the size of a real bike.
Yeah, it's got the front tire on it and everything.
What's cool is it tilts up for storage. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say how easy that is to store.
I don't know. It doesn't do the climb thing, though. So what's nice about the kicker bike is like the bike kind of comes down to a point. It's like V-shaped, if you will, and you can still push stuff underneath the handlebars, and it's just not that big. It doesn't get in the way. So,
interesting.
I've got space for it, so I really.
But that Zwift bike was like $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah,
that's where they can disrupt the market, and I kind of like that. That was what I was going to get to. Is like if they come in and they undercut the kicker bike by $1,000,
$1,000,
or undercut the tax bike by $400 or $500.
Yeah.
That could make things look pretty interesting, and that's going to force some changes. And I hope that, you know, that creates a little bit of friendly competition and brings those bikes down into a more realistic price point.
That would be nice.
I also like the fact that that Zwift bike has like all the Zwift controls on the handlebars. Yep. All the buttons and everything are
shifting. There's some interesting stuff there.
Yeah. The kicker bike has the shifting. You have some buttons on there where you can push buttons to turn around. It's got a button on there to steer. There's little things that you can do there. There's not too much other stuff that you really want to do. I mean, what else do you want to do besides give somebody a kudos?
Give kudos.
But what's Strava going to do? They could integrate all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah. It becomes their playground. So
we'll see.
That could be fun.
I think they need to keep it open. They need to keep the marketplace if you're able to have steering, for example, like you need to be able to have that open to third parties.
Yeah. Right.
If they just make it only on their thing, I feel like that's not a good direction to go.
Right.
They could do it. But.
Yeah. Well, it works on the kicker bike. You've got buttons to push to go left and to right. So it's kind of.
I know, but can you imagine some other feature that's like only on the Strava bike?
Yeah.
Right.
I would find that annoying.
Zwift bike.
Oh, sorry, Zwift bike.
Yeah.
I think that that would bite them in the butt ultimately. I think it would
piss off a lot of manufacturers.
Yeah. And those manufacturers are what built Zwift.
Yep.
So if you didn't have smart trainers, there would be no Zwift, really. So
it's a behemoth. I can't believe how big it is.
It's big.
Zwift is huge.
Oh, yeah. They raised $500 million to do this whole technology, the hardware stuff. So
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Did you ever do a one last thing?
I did not. Not yet.
All right. What you got?
One last thing. We've got the Dialed Cycling Lab here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You can visit us on the web if you're not local, and we can help you out with that kind of stuff. But if you are local here, we're expanding our hours.
Yes.
So we're going to be open an extra hour in the evenings, which is kind of nice. We kind of have banker's hours there for a while. We were open 10 to 5 Monday through Friday and no weekend hours. So and that's just kind of how it was because we were so busy. Like when over the last couple of years, we've been out supporting a lot of racing, and this whole lab was born out of supporting our team, and we've got team racing and all that other stuff, so it's kind of hard to be in two places at one time that I've come to find out, and so to go out to watch the races and support the races and be at the races, you can't be there and at the lab at the same time, but we've got it set up now to where we've got a fantastic new location, and we're going to be open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., And then we're going to be open on Saturdays now too, from 10 to 2.
And our location is like a conventional retail location.
Yep. Yeah, the storefront that you can walk into. And it's very conveniently located to the highway, which is very close to a lot of the freeways that you can get here from the airport. Yeah. And I think it's like 9 minutes or something like that.
Airport, it's close. I can see a lot of people coming in on Saturdays. Yeah. You know, getting help with things, the people out riding. Yeah.
Get some more people joining the team too. So things are busy. They're going well. Yeah, it's
fun. Busy.
Having fun with that. That's my one last thing.
Like, that's awesome.
Cool.
Good news.
All righty then. We do appreciate you listening. We will be back next week with another one. And until then, bye for now.